You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Everyone, this is Francine, and you are listening to Eyes Up There with Francine in the iHeartRadio Network or wherever you get your podcasts. As always, I am joined by my co-host Chad. Hello, Chadster. How are we today?
Oh, I'm awesome. I have a new name for you as well this week.
For me?
Yes, for myself. I have a new name.
Okay.
I've renamed myself. Instead of the Jester of jubilation, I'm the jester of jeering, because I'm never jubilant. I'm usually jeering. So.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
Yes.
I'm glad you finally have come to the revelation. You know?
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Well, you're happy. That's good.
Just to be here, but not in general.
Oh, I got you. You're usually your miserable self, but that's okay. I'm glad you're happy today. We have a great guest that's coming on in a couple minutes, but let's do just a quick recap. Anything going on in your world that I need to know about?
Oh, man. No, it's not in my world specifically, but, you know, the wrestling world is pretty crazy right about now. And I'm loving every second of it.
Are you?
I haven't been this into to what's going on in WWE in quite a while. Their television product has been pretty goddamn entertaining. So
wow.
I have to tell you, it's been quite fun to be a fan watching the product. I have to the main event story, I'll just say.
Is this because you're a Mega Rock fan?
I think maybe just because of the old school flavor of The Rock. I think that's it. But the rest of the players are doing their part too. It's not just him. It's everybody else. It's Cody. It's Roman. It's Seth Rollins. It's
group effort.
Everybody. Paul Heyman. It's everyone involved is doing their part. It's but it's cool as a fan. So that's what, personally, in my life, my life's always in chaos. But from a wrestling point of view, I got to say, loving it. Very happy.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I have not been watching, as usual, per usual with me. Trying to keep up with it a little on social media, but I haven't really seen anything. And then again, like, you know, WrestleMania weekend, I'm going to be extremely busy. I don't know if I'll have a chance to watch, but maybe I'll watch it when I come home and, you know, if I hear it's good, which it probably will be. Let's just say that right now. But like two nights, it's just so much.
Yeah. Oh my God.
A lot, man. That's so much. But it's cool if like you're a wrestling fan and you have a bunch of friends who dig it and you get some, you know, some drinks or some snacks and you're all like going over somebody's house and hanging out. Like that makes it more fun.
Yes.
You know, those days are over for me. I don't do that.
Same here.
When you're younger and you're so into the product and you have those wrestling buddies that you can hang out with, that's a good time. So I'm assuming there's going to be a bunch of WrestleMania watch parties out there, and that's fun. So hopefully it's a good show and everybody enjoys it. But
Party one.
Yeah, right. For me, myself, got away with the kids this past week. My husband actually went to the Arnold Classic. And yeah, and you know, if you know my husband, he is a huge fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you go in our gym, like, Arnold is everywhere. He's staring at me everywhere I turn. Arnold. And then he brought him more swag that he got, and it's more Arnold. And I'm just like, good Lord.
Arnold. Oh, I want to see it.
He's everywhere. He didn't get to meet him, but he, you know, Arnold was on the panel a couple of times, so he got to see him. But he met a lot of the pro bodybuilders. Michael Hearn, he met.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know the other guys' names. He was telling me a bunch of the guys he met, but very cool. And he had a really good time. So I took the kids down to AC and did a little swimming, a little cuisine, got to walk laps around the casino, which was, you know, that was our exercise, just kept walking. It's hilarious because this one lady like got a bonus on her slot machine. And my son goes, wait a minute. Everybody stop. She has a bonus. We have to watch and see what she wins. Like, okay. I was like, listen, kids, do not gamble. You save your money. You buy houses and cars. You do not come here. You do not gamble. This is just the place where we swim, we eat, we have a good time. So it was fun, but you know, it was a nice little getaway for us. And had a nice time.
That's awesome.
Can't wait to go back. Yeah. No gambling when I'm with the kids. No gambling. None. Just family.
Tempted though?
I look around the floor to see like what machines are hitting. Like I need to know what's going on. You know what I mean? Like I'm always like, because you know, with the kids, you're not allowed to step on the carpet. You have to stay on the marble floor. Kids are not under 21. You're not allowed on the carpet. So my eyes are always open and I'm always looking around. But no gambling, just a lot of fun. It was a good time. I can't wait till the boardwalk. It's warmer and the boardwalk still, Steel Pier? Yeah, Steel Pier. That opens up and we go there and we go on the rides and go to the beach. And it's a good time. Nice. So really looking forward to it.
Very cool. But
yeah, fun stuff. And by the time you hear this, my weekend will be over, but I'm in Chickalacalaca, Ohio. It was a great show. Me and Sandman had a great time. And
I just can't wait to hear the travel stories.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it'll be some you know, shenanigans going on because there always is. It's never a smooth sail. You know what I mean? There's always something. Hopefully it's not too bad. But when I'm with the Sandman, anything can happen. So, yeah. And Todd Gordon was supposed to come with us and then his... Oh my God, that is a story in itself. It would take me an hour to explain, but everything got screwed up and now he's not coming. So it's me, Hack, and Shane. And I, you know, there's a bunch of, like we said this before, a bunch of ECW people. And again, this is after the fact. I'm assuming I had a great time and we'll talk about it next week more. But I was trying to get ready for this and get my outfits ready and, you know. This menopause is killing me. I gained weight again.
Oh, man.
I'm dying. I'm fasting. I'm doing the intermittent fasting and I'm trying to watch what I eat. And it's just like, it's killing me. I just don't know what else to do.
I think I have sympathy pains for you.
You should, because it's very hard being a woman.
It's very hard being a man.
Oh, please. I want to go get out of here. It's so much harder being a female.
Yeah, but you know how I am. I can drop weight like that. And right now I'm dropping no weight like this. I'm not doing
it. Are you eating more? Because I feel like I'm not eating more.
I'm not as strict as I've been in past with diets. More about water drinking for me. And in the current situation I'm in, I can't have access to water because I can't leave my designated area fast to use the restroom.
Oh, right.
But okay. But that's a key factor for me is water drinking and water removal from my body.
Okay.
But I'm doing pretty good, I thought, with my diet, but no, I'm not, just not seeing results. So I got sympathy pains for you right now.
It's rough. I was like, can I just go to the plastic surgeon and just lipo my whole body, just stick that vacuum in me and suck everything out. If there's fat to suck out, I don't even know what's going on, but I get on the scale and I literally give the scale the double finger. I get so mad every single time I get on that scale. Cause I'm, you know, I'm watching what I eat. I was trying to up my protein. And now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to eat one meal a day, which is not the healthy way to do it, because I don't get my, you know, you're supposed to get your protein in equaling to your weight. And I don't come near my protein when I only eat one meal a day.
Right.
So that's screwing me up, but I'm trying to cut my calories, which they say you don't cut your calories. So I don't know what I'm doing. I am in limbo right now. I'm so mad. So that's what I'm struggling with. But, you know, Hubs doesn't want me to get any plastic surgery. He's like, no. I was like, can I get my boobs done? He's like, no. Can I get lipo? No. Can I get my lips done? No, nothing. I'm 100% natural right now. I have nothing done to myself. And it shows. It shows that I'm natural. So I want to get some stuff done. But Hub said no, and he put his foot down. So I have to listen to him.
And this, oh, here we go. Give him the intro.
Oh, yeah. So this is a very good friend of mine who's tardy to the party, but I will forgive him today. Devon Dudley, Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer in my heart.
What's going on?
Before he was in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, you like that, huh? I was calling you, and that you kayfabe me.
No, I was trying to find my AirPods so I'd be able to hear you.
Well, your mouth isn't – look, his mouth isn't in sync with what he's saying.
He's here, and that's what's important.
All right. I won't look at your mouth. I'm going to look. I'm going to stare into your eyes, my dear. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Not bad. Hanging
not
in
bad? Are you getting sleep?
Not bad. No. No.
So let me just say, when I was in Florida, I got to have dinner with Devon and his lovely wife and his lovely, lovely children. And they are a handful, might I add.
Oh, God. You have no idea.
Gorgeous family. Beautiful, beautiful children. But the two little, are they 4 and 5, the girls?
The girl, yes, they're 4 and 5.
Okay, so 4 and 5 years old, I'm thinking they're going to be like dainty, very sweet, which they were very sweet. But because of their dad, they wrestled the whole time we were trying to like sit and like have like an adult discussion. They were body slamming each other, throwing each other into the there was a glass coffee table in our room. And I was just like, oh, my God. They were crazy. So yeah, your daughters are beautiful. They took a liking to me. They were holding my hand, giving me hugs. I love that stuff. Love children. But your son, oh my God. So this baby, I'm not naming names because I don't know what you want out there in the world, but this
baby.
Oh,
it's fine. It's already out.
Okay. So DJ, oh my God, this baby, 6 weeks old at the time. This little tiny creature, I have been longing to hold a child. I haven't held a baby in years. It's been years because no one I know has children like tiny babies. So the first thing when they get out of the van, I'm like, am I allowed to hold him? Can I hold this baby? I ended up holding that baby for like the whole time you guys were there.
Yeah, pretty much.
This kid has the strongest neck that I've ever witnessed in my, his head was constantly back just staring at me. He's like, who is this lady? This is not my mother. But it was so nice because, you know, I've seen you at conventions and stuff, but it was just so nice being able to just sit there and like break bread and just shoot the shit and not worry about working.
I mean, yeah, it's always a pleasure to do something like that. When you are with friends, especially from the past and people that you created history with, just to sit, relax, talk about some of the old stories, but then talk about some new stories that we might not know of or remember, and that we created.
Right.
So it's always good for that. I love doing things like that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I was glad we made it happen. And hopefully next year, if we come back, we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I talked about your daughters. Now, some people may not know this, most do, but your sons, your twins, are actually doing things in the business now. You want to talk about them a little bit?
Yeah. So Terrence and Terrell, they did a couple of things in AEW. They were in a huge storyline with Pope and myself and TNA. So they've been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, doing their thing. But yeah, I mean, I get asked about them more than when people come see me at the autograph signing. How's your sons? Where's your son? Oh, your sons were here. Your sons were there.
Your sons are over.
They're over there. Listen, I was nowhere near as over as my boys.
That was a great storyline. No, it was intense at some point. You know, they were a big part of the show.
Yeah, they were. They were the only high school kids at the time that I knew that was on pay per view and making money.
That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
I'll make that green. Let's put you over and let's talk about you. Who cares about your kids? I don't care about them. I want to talk about you. How are you feeling? People might not know you had surgery about a year ago.
Yeah, I had back surgery. They fused L4, L5, and then S1. Sometimes, you know, I was just talking to DDP because I've been having like little chronic pains in the lower back, and that comes with surgery. So it's nothing abnormal. You know, when the weather's cold, you know, the body hurts, the back hurts. When it rains, you know, the back hurts. So it's stuff like that. And it kind of made me walk a little funny sometimes, like with a little bit of a limp, just because there's no cushion in between. In your spine, in the vertebrae, there's cushion. So when you walk and you come down, you have that cushion as opposed to boom, like, you know, bone on bone. So sometimes it happens if I don't stretch or take the time to really, you know, move the lower limbs the way I should, you know, that limp will come on. I'm like, oh man, I forgot to stretch. I got to get back on the floor and stretch. But yeah. I mean, it just comes with the territory. Other than that, I'm fine. No big deals.
You didn't stretch before he came to see me because he was walking in front of me at the elevator. And I was like, hey, old man. You got a little limp going on.
Oh, God.
But then I was limping right behind him, so it's okay. Dinner, we were talking about all our ailments.
Yeah.
We just sounded like a bunch of old fogies.
Yeah, I wish I would have saw DDP first before I went and had the surgery.
Would be different?
I don't know. It's, you know, I've seen testimonies from other people that DDP has helped. Mm-hmm. There was just a new testimony by Butterbean. Where he couldn't even walk. And now he's walking straight up talking about having another boxing match. There's another guy that I first heard about. He used to jump out of airplanes and basically had the two, not walkers, but the two with crutches that hooks onto his forearms. And he was walking like that. He could barely move. And now he's running marathons and everything.
Wow.
And I was like, man, if I would have went to see him first, it could have maybe worked. May not. You know, maybe.
Oh, so you wouldn't have got the surgery, you're saying?
I wouldn't. No, I don't know if I would have. I'm not saying I wouldn't have gotten it. I would have tried the DDP yoga first and his methods on how he's helped people before I went and got it. Because I did. I tried everything possible before I had the surgery to alleviate the pain and all of that. And nothing seemed to work. So the only thing that was left was back surgery.
Well, you know, Dave, I mean, look at the job that we had for the longest time. And the people always say like, oh, well, if you go to wrestling school, they teach you how to bump correctly. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you bump correctly or don't bump correctly. Your body is going through trauma every single time. It's not normal to take a back bump or to, you know, to fly off the top. That is not normal. And every little move you make is trauma.
Well, God never intended your body to do things like that.
Did God invent wrestling? I want to know.
No man did. Our pride.
It's crazy.
You know, we had to take each other down and show who was strong, strong like bull. And next thing you know, pro wrestling was formed.
If you trained, you should be okay. And it's just like, dude, no, you're not okay. You can take one bump your whole life and you don't have to be a wrestler. You can trip down the stairs and screw your whole body up for the rest of your life. So continuing to, you know, bump every night like you guys did, you're going to come across some health issues.
You know, sometimes I look, I go, God, look at Jeff Hardy. You know, look at Jeff Hardy. Look at RVD. Some of the things that they've done. They didn't need back surgery. What the hell am I doing wrong?
They're still going, which is still crazy.
Still going.
I heard a little birdie, not so little, big birdie by the name of Bubba Ray Dudley. And he was saying, you know, maybe you guys are going to do another loop around the world or something as a tag team. I don't know.
Yeah, we talked about it. You know, of course, you know, we're going to give you with the greatest hits. You know, we don't have to do anything to try to reinvent the wheel or anything like that. We go back, we're going to just give the fans exactly what they like and what they missed. So we're going to hit the greatest hits. It's kind of like Kiss, the rock group Kiss, you know, when they had the makeup on and doing all the old songs, rock and roll all night, you know, all of those good hits, people loved them. The minute they took that makeup off, it was over. It was over. And, you know, and then they started coming up with new songs, and some of them were good, but they weren't the classics. They weren't what Kiss was known for. Mm-hmm. The minute Kiss put the makeup on and went back on tour and started doing those, you know, those classics, it was like a resurge in the arm for Kiss, you know, and they just started all over again. So now that's what me and Bubba was saying, you know, we don't have to go out there and try to, you know, reinvent the wheel on tag team wrestling or try to have 5-star matches. Let's just go out there and have fun and hit the greatest hits.
Nostalgia. That's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you could give it to them. Can we see the What's Up? What's up? Can we see it?
Well,
maybe
we'll do the What's Up when Bubba's up on that top rope doing
so. Reverse it.
Yeah.
So you're just holding the legs open.
Just holding them.
Hey, that's a good position to be in for a man. Hold a woman's legs open, or you know, a guy if you're into that. That's fine.
Well, yeah.
3D? Maybe?
Oh yeah, 3D definitely.
3D, which 3D. I told him the other day, I would have taken that from you guys, no problem. It never happened.
Yeah, no.
Never happened.
You got away. You were protected.
I got away.
You were protected by three of the toughest men in Shane Douglas, Bam Bam Bigelow, and Chris Candido. So the Dudleys couldn't touch you at that point.
Yeah, but I also feel like if you came into the company earlier than you did, you would have been feuding with the Pitbulls, and I would have taken that from you.
Well, I mean, again, that would have been the Dudleys. We did actually work together. My first match at the ECW arena, it was me and Bubba versus the Pitbulls.
Was I with them?
Yep, you were with them, and you beat the hell out of
Chubby and
Dances
with Dudley.
You had these 7-inch. I'm gonna say they were 7-inch stilettos.
So sexy.
And you're standing on freaking Dancing with Dudley's, freaking going back and forth, up and down, trying to keep him down because you were trying to beat him up.
Oh.
I remember looking at that. I go, this is not wrestling.
Comedy.
I go, what the hell am I doing here? You know, this is not the WWF.
Hey, I that's what I was told to do, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know. And I remember you basically, I turn around and see that, and then I start going after you, like walking towards you. It was like Jason going after the girl that he wants to kill. So you get that slow, you know, walk to the girl. And we were doing that around the ring until I believe Anthony jumped down and hit me in the back of the head and put me back in the ring. And that was the night that you got powerbombed.
Was it?
Yeah, that was the night you got powerbombed.
Oh, so later we did the Four Corners match, I suppose.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny because we didn't work together too much, but there's one match. And when I had Bubba on, I wish we could pull it up to show you it because it's hilarious. I don't know if I didn't have anybody to work with that evening, but Paul made me come out when the Dudleys were in the ring. It was, I guess it was a house show. It was never for TV. Mm-hmm. And they make me come out in this big jacket, right? And I have a dress on underneath it or whatever. And I try to entice you. And I take the jacket off and you do the wahooza with the eyes. It was such gaga. It was ridiculous. I end up beating up all of you. And then Spike comes out and does like some kind of death, like the death drop or something. He does something.
Acid drop.
The acid drop. That's right. But I gave Bubba DDP's diamond cutter. I did something to you. I gave Lou a regular DDT. I mean, it was ridiculous. I beat up your whole clan.
Oh, thank you. Got taken out by Francine. And then 40 days later, I'm on a podcast.
Well, you know, we were all friends in real life. Come on. But I look back and I say to myself, my God, here I am, 117 pounds soaking wet. I got all these big men around me and I'm beating the shit out of everybody. It is so not believable, but it was just like a little ha-ha gaga spot to fill. Well,
the great thing about stuff like that is when you look back at it, yes, realistically, a woman your size should not have been able to take out three guys our size. But back then, ECW did things like that. And even though it didn't make sense, when you look at it, it was very entertaining. It was how we did it.
Right.
And how we pulled it off.
Right.
Got the reaction. As opposed to some people that do things that don't make sense and then there's no reaction.
Yeah.
We put a lot of entertainment and stuff like that to, even though people knew that it could never happen, maybe there's a possibility it can. Because ECW is telling that story. And that was just what we did. When you look at some of the matches that we did, oh my God, I cringe. They were
God awful. What's the worst thing? What's the worst match that you had to do that you look back and you say to myself, good Lord, this is ridiculous?
ECW?
Yeah.
We had great matches, but, and I'll get to that question. What I was saying was, it was like we're sitting up there, and when you look at some of the things that we're doing, stuff in front of the referee, you know, the referee's watching, and it's not being a DQ. We're outside for like 20 minutes on the outside of the ring, you know, and it's like, what the hell were we thinking? But because we made it so entertaining and because we captivated an audience the way we did, people suspended that and just didn't even think about the rules or what didn't make sense. We made them believe it at that point.
Because the other people were following the rules. The other companies were cookie cutter following the rules, and we took it outside the box and did things differently.
That's why we were the Nevada, how do you say it, the rock group?
Nirvana.
We were the Nirvana of pro wrestling.
Right.
It's no different than Nirvana. Nirvana came when, you know, you have Motley Crue, Metallica, you know, all these hair bands that are just killing it in the 80s. And it didn't seem like anybody was going to take them down. Then Nirvana came in and just kicked down the door and said, nope, we're breaking the rules. We're going to be sad, pissed off. We're going to tell you how we feel. I mean, because, you know, when you look at that type of music, you're like, oh, my God, I want to murder myself. I'm so sad, you know. And it's like, oh, my God, it's that Seattle feel that they, you know, that you always hear about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was one of those things where when Nirvana did that, it just opened up a whole new door for music. And it was what we did in ECW. We kicked the door down and did the opposite of what should have been done.
Right.
But when we did it good and did it very entertaining.
And fun.
Yep.
So much
fun. I forgot what the other question was.
When you look back at your career, it doesn't even have to be an ECW, just matches that you've been a part of. You were saying, like, you look back sometimes and you say, oh my God, it's so cringe. I cringe when I think of that. Worst thing or the worst angle that you've been a part of that you look back in your, because there's things that I've done or clothes that I've worn that I'm embarrassed. I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, where did this come from? Like, this was such a bad choice. Anything that you've ever done that you look back and you're just like, oh my God. So
yeah.
Stupid.
TNA, a TNA match pay-per-view, the Fish Market street fight.
Fish Market.
Remember that.
Yeah, they had fish line. They had fish on ice.
Oh,
all that around. And nothing to the. This has nothing to do with Curry Man, who was Christopher Daniels, and Shark Boy. Loved those guys. Loved working with them. But I hated this. I don't like fish. I don't eat fish. I hate the smell of fish. And it's real fish on ice, like you're at a fish market. And of course, you know, people picking fish up and throwing it and hitting people with it. I remember looking at Curry Man. I said, listen, do not hit me with a guy. Do not hit me with fish. I said, you do, it becomes real. Do not hit me. Do not hit me at all with a fish.
What was the gimmick? Like, what's the point?
It was Vince Russo. Enough said.
I have never, like, does that make sense? To go no. to...
Well, it wasn't, you had, it was a regular match.
But yeah,
you were able to go outside and take the fish and hit each
as
other.
As a weapon.
As a weapon. Now, that was where the rules were like, oh, it was, it's like a street fight. There are no rules in a street fight. You can have a regular match, but you can use weapons, you know?
Oh, my God, and I would throw like, up.
I threw out my wrestling gear.
Oh, my God.
I threw it out. It was that bad.
What if somebody just picked up a fish and just smacked you across the face?
Well, Curry, not Curry, man. Daniels are great, but Shark Boy forgot that I said that to him. He got caught up in a moment, and he took the fish, and he hit me. As soon as he hit me, I went, bam!
I picked him up. Oh, potato!
God damn, I didn't hit me no goddamn fish.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to look that match up, because I've never even heard of that one.
I hated that match to this day. I said it was the worst match because, again, I never liked it. And I remember saying something to Russo. I said, do we have to do this match? Oh, bro, it's going to be good. It's going to be good, bro. It's going to be great. I'm telling you, people are going to love it, bro. It's going to be great. And I'm like, you're full of shit. He goes, no, Bubba's. He goes, Bubba's. Bubba's cool with it. I looked at Bubba. He goes,
Bubba's face said it all.
Yeah, and I'm just like, Russo, you're lying. I was like, this is a god-awful match.
Ew.
Why are you even doing this?
How many, like, big fish were there? Like, did they have boxes of fish around the ring? Is that...
No, you ever go to Chinatown or...
Like, the fish market?
It was a fish market. You know, like, the little tray, the big trays that they had, they filled up with ice, and then they put the fish on top.
Okay, so it was just, like, one...
No, they had like a whole line of it. And they had fish and all of that on there. It was bad. The smell was horrible.
Did the fans like? I mean, did Meltzer give you 5 stars?
Shit, listen, Nelson, he's never given me 5 stars in any of the matches.
He gives me negative stars.
So it's not even in the freaking TLC match. I think we got like 2.
Oh my God, terrible.
But meanwhile, people still talk about those matches today, 30-something years later.
You guys were awesome.
People still.
Please.
But so, I mean, I don't know what his problem was, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. Look,
Each
his own. What, you know, you two guys may see a wrestling match and love it, and I may hate it. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to, you know, out of 1 to 10 stars, I'm going to go, okay, it gets a 2. It may get a 2 for me, but not everybody else should, you know, take it as, you know, everybody else is going to look at it as a 2 match.
Yeah.
I feel like
back then ECW never got, like, not that it means anything, but the rating system from him, but I feel like none of our guys got a lot of stars for their matches.
Well, I know a lot of our guys didn't like him and was pissed off at him, but I also know that you're right. None of us got any of those stars. But remember, a lot of people thought ECW was barbaric.
Right.
They didn't like ECW. Even some of the veterans in WCW or WWE, I'm going to say that, WWF.
Yeah.
basically did not know or understand what we were doing. And they would say, and a lot of them would say what we were doing was garbage. And this and that, until the fans started catching on and watching and then showing their love and support, and you couldn't go to an arena that wasn't an ECW show, but it was like a WCW or a WWE show where the fans would hijack the show and start chanting ECW.
Right.
You know, it was then that people's eyes started to wake up. So, you know, now somebody might have believed in what we were doing, but that's fine. But again, what is it, 30, 40 years? I'll go ECW.
No, the 30. 30. No, 40.
40.
I feel like 60-something.
That make me feel old, too.
Yeah. It's not quite, but close to it.
But people still talk about it, you know? It's one of those things where it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh, my. Can I just take this in right now? So the fish, for those listening, we're watching the Fish Market Street Fight right now from 2008. TNA Destination X. So Bubba's going for a fish for Shark Boy. Shark Boy's going for a net to let y'all know. Oh, Bubba's moving the fish. Okay. Oh, Shark Boy's got him in the net. Okay.
No, that's actually Curry Man.
Oh, that's Curry Man. Oh, I saw the. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
There's the fish.
I thought that was a fin on his head. Okay. So that's Christopher Daniels.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Now I see his eyes. Okay. Good. And yeah, he's dancing. Look at that. Yeah. Why don't I remember Curry Man? I don't remember this gimmick. Taste great. Well,
backdrop into the fish.
Ew, backdrop into the fish. I would die. Gross. That is disgusting. My play.
Did you notice Devon far away could be away from the
away
fish.
From that fish?
I don't blame you. Finally,
oh, I hate it.
Could you imagine? You're so excited for a pay per view. You're a big TNA fan. You can't wait to see the Dudleys, right? You buy a ticket, you're in the front row, you think you got good seats, and then they put a box of fish next to you, and you got to smell it for like 20 minutes. Mm. You got to smell it, which would linger probably for the next 2 hours because it stinks.
I mean, you know, it sounds like some of my earlier dates.
Oh, hey. But enough about the travel lodge. I want to get back.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You were saying that, like, the vets looked at us as, like, the blood and guts company and too much and blah, blah, blah. I remember we did a house show one night, and it was, like, a mixed tag we did, right? And we were doing all these, like, cool spots and this and that. And, I mean, we probably had, like, maybe 500 to 1,000 people in the building. It was a house show. Terry Taylor was there just visiting. And we come through the curtain, and he stops us, and he looks at all of us, and he says, "Why'd you work so hard?" I'll never forget this. It blew my mind. And I said, "Excuse me?" And he goes, "Why'd you just work so hard out there? It's a house show." I couldn't wrap my head around that reasoning. And I said point blank, I said, "Well, you know," I said, "if we drew 500 tonight, maybe they'll tell a friend. And maybe next time we come, we'll have 1,000 people because we work hard. That's what we do here." And he goes, "Well," he goes, "when we do the loop, we just do the same match in every city, and it's easy. And we save our energy for TV." See, yeah. Now you're laughing. I wasn't a vet at this time. I'm still kind of green. So I didn't want to argue with the guy, but I'm thinking that kind of mentality is shit. Why would you think that way?
We did something I didn't learn about that in terms of doing stuff like that until I got to WWE.
Right.
Because a lot of the vets from the 80s were still there. Late 80s, that is. And you know, they had, a lot of them had the same mentality because it was the old school way of thinking. So the new school way of thinking, like you were describing how you felt about it, hadn't really registered yet. It was just that, you know, let's get out, let's get through this match and get to the next town and hope, you know, get the TV with no injuries. And that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
But as a couple, you know, some time went on, you know, some of the vets, you know, we would do somewhat similar to the same match, but we would change a little bit up.
Right.
You know, to make it a little bit different because you never know who drove, you know, 300-400 miles to the next town. And, you know, you don't want them predicting what we had already done in the town the night before. So, you know, it was always, we changed it up a little bit, not too much, just a little bit.
But that's fine. Because we would do like the same thing. We'd change some spots here and there. But to say, why did you work so hard? To me, that's the first thing that came out of his mouth when we came in the back. Why'd you work so hard out there? And I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't we work hard? Like they bought a ticket just like you would buy a ticket if it was a pay-per-view or a TV taping.
I don't know if Terry Taylor would actually agree with that method now, being that he is one of the producers at NXT. And I say that because, you know, you got to teach these kids, they have to work hard for what they do, not just to get the TV. So I'm sure Terry Taylor's being a producer on the live events and this and that. I don't think he has that same mentality anymore, even though he's not wrestling.
Yeah.
But again, I understand what he meant by that because that was the way they did things back then. Didn't necessarily make it right.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, necessarily make it wrong, but didn't necessarily make it right either. But that was just the way they were able to save their bodies. You know, because remember back then being on the road for 50 days straight or 40 to 50 days straight was normal.
Yes.
So they were home maybe 3 to 4 days, maybe a week if they were lucky.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, they were constantly traveling in and out of cars, some airplanes and things like that. So they were really trying to conserve their body. And
yeah.
Not really, but I definitely understand both ways. I understand Terry's logic and thinking of it. And I definitely understand your way of logic and thinking of it.
Because that's what we did 55 years ago when we were just starting out.
60.
According to D-Bot, we've been here for 187 years. Vince McMahon, any comments?
Oh, man.
Did you hear about what's going on?
I heard. I'm still shocked at a lot of stuff that I've read and heard, but, you know.
Seen? Anything seen?
I never saw it. No, even though I was a producer, I never seen any foul play or anything like that. I wasn't the ones that if foul play was going on, would have been done in front of me.
Oh,
you know, I wasn't part of the system in any way, shape or form. If anything like that was going on.
Allegedly.
Nothing. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Nothing. We don't know if it's true.
Oh, no, I have no idea.
Yeah. We're just assuming. Do you think he's guilty?
Again,
I don't know.
A hot seat.
I don't know.
Don't worry. I try to get it out of every guest. I try to pull it. It's not there. It's not there. It's fine.
Look, sometimes we can sit here and say all day long that a person didn't do something, swap it down. Then all of a sudden, some huge evidence or something happens where that person is found guilty without a shadow of a doubt.
Yes.
And then we're like, wait a minute. We would have never believed it in a million years. You know, and you know that happens. And there's some people that are, you know, presumed guilty, and yet the evidence shows that they weren't guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to let it play out in court and see what the judge thinks. And I'm sure he's going to be judged by, you know, a good jury of his peers and, you know, whatever. I think it's holding off in Connecticut. You know, let them decide what they're going to do with it and go from there. I mean, we'll know eventually whether it was true or not. And even whether the verdict is guilty or not guilty, you know, if he was found innocent, you know, there'll be a lot of people saying, oh, no, he was guilty, and this and that, it's still bad. If he was found guilty, I knew it. I know. You just never know.
Very PC answer. It's fine.
What, mustache or no mustache?
Yeah, what do you think of the mustache? Do you like it?
I'm not used to it. I'm used to clean shave Vince. I've never seen him with a mustache or a beard or a goatee or anything. And when we first saw it, it kind of threw a lot of us off. And I think one of the other producers in the when I was working with WWE, we were in the outside of the meeting, and they were showing me. I was like, "What the hell?" I was like, "Who is that?" And they were like, "It's Vince." I was like, "What a fucking mustache!"
Wow.
I was like, "Wow."
Travelodge story? Do you have one?
I got several.
I know you have several. Do you have one that you can share that's funny off the top of your head? You don't have to name names. You can call them Larry, Mo, and Curly if you want, not to put anybody in an awkward spot. You got to have one that you could tell.
Oh, man.
Because I got a million of them.
Besides me getting so drunk, you know, here it is. You know, I was, you know, a small kid from Brooklyn, never really did anything, never...
A small kid from Brooklyn?
Small kid from Brooklyn. I wasn't big.
I don't put Devon Dudley and small in the same category, but okay.
I didn't start gaining weight until really after my fourth or fifth year in wrestling. And then when I got to ECW, because that's when I started taking training seriously. I should have took it seriously back when I was starting, but I didn't. I was just trying to learn how to wrestle.
Right. So tell me the story. You got so drunk. Where were we? Were we somewhere?
We were at the Travelodge, and we were at that bar downstairs. And I just remember not ever going out drinking like that ever. And I had to get carried out of the bar up to my room. At least I thought it was my room. Somebody put me in somebody else's room. So I pass out. I wake up, and this guy goes, "Hey, Devon." I go, "What the fuck?" I go, "Hey," I said, "who the hell are you? Why are you in my room?" He goes, "Devon, you're in my room." I was like, "Who the hell are you?" It was some fan.
That was a rib.
I was like, "You've been sitting here watching me sleep?" He goes, "I didn't want to wake you."
Wait a minute. Who brought you up there? Did you ever find out?
No, I don't, because I passed out.
I wonder, because it's funny, because we were talking about this at dinner in Florida, and Devon was like, "Man," he goes, "when I came to ECW the first time," he goes, "I was scared." He goes, "I didn't do any of the stuff y'all were doing." I go, "I didn't do it either." And I still didn't do it we drank, but we weren't part of the drug crowd.
Yeah,
like, no, our partying was going to the bar and having a couple cocktails and stuff, but we, you know, we weren't there snorting cocaine or doing lines off a stripper. I mean, I wasn't anyway.
I didn't know anything about pills, nothing.
Right.
I knew nothing about that.
Yeah. You know? And he was so cute. He's like, "Oh my God." He goes, I looked around and I was just so scared. And I was like, "Yeah." But after a while, it just becomes like the norm. And, you know, we were all friends, but everybody had the cliques that they hung out with. If you didn't do drugs, you didn't hang out with the drug people. But once we were in the locker room, we all hung out together.
I mean, so it was great. It was really cool. Like, for instance, you know, some kid came over and looked at Sandman and said, "Is he all right?" And I was like, "Well," I said, "no, he's just drunk. He's probably sleeping." The guy goes, "He's on next." I said, "Yeah, don't worry about it. As soon as his music hits, somebody will tap him, he'll get right up."
You know what's great? Yeah, and that's what's great about it. Do you remember the night that Tammy started the fight with the Mummers? You had to have been there. You had to have been in it. She went outside in the back in the parking lot, you know, out the back door. Remember the Mummers were on top of where we were, on top of the arena? And she said something to one of the Mummers, and I think one of the Mummers called her a slut or something. And she caused a riot that night. And I swear you and Bubba were there, and everybody ran out the door and started fighting the Mummers.
No, I don't think I was there.
I swear you were there.
Those pesky was Mummers.
If you gave me a year, because remember, we left in 90, we left in 99.
I don't know what the year was. I swear you were in there. New Jack was like shanking people probably. Like, it was a mess. But there were three people who didn't go outside. Me, Shane Douglas, and Hack, Sandman. And Sandman stayed. He was doing lines of coke while everybody was like fighting. And me and Shane were looking out the window watching the fight. But everybody, because Tammy started this fight, and I swore you were in it.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that. Were in it. I don't think we were there for that one.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask Bubba if he remembers that, because I vividly do. and the whole locker room poured out, and just everybody was fighting in the parking lot.
Yeah, I don't remember ever having getting into a fight in at the ECW arena. I don't. I mean, other places I remember getting into fights, like Staten Island, or you know, Lost Battalion Hall in Queens. But I don't remember ever getting a fight at the ECW arena with fans.
The fights that you got in, was it because of the promos that you and Bubba, you know, dictated? Because some of those were really.
Yeah, the one in Staten Island was really raunchy and bad. And if you can believe it, it even beat the Heat Wave 99 one. And, you know, the one that we're most famous for. And somebody took a swipe at Big Dick Dudley.
Ugh.
And why they do that, he jumped the railing and went after the guy. And next thing you know, me and Bubba goes, "Devon, we got to go. We got to go." I was like, "Oh, shit." And I remember I jumped the railing. I went out to go, but people are jumping on us, swinging on us. So Bubba goes, "Devon, F this." He goes, "Assume the position." I was like, "Here we go." We turned to the back. We turned back to back. It started boom, boom. It was like a brawl room fight with freaking Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
And oh, my God.
People that, it was freaking phenomenal. And then all of a sudden, the riot cops came with the dogs. And I was like, "All right, stop this shit. Then go back to the ring."
The riot cops came with the dogs, and the locker room fled because how many people had shit on them?
Oh, once.
Crazy. Do you want to plug your socials or any appearances that you have coming up?
Yeah, I'll be in Ohio. Oh my God.
Chickalacqua? Chickacapa? I'm there too this weekend, but this airs after this weekend. Are you there Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm there too. I'll see you.
Yes, in Chillicothe.
Chillicothe, Ohio. Oh, yay. I'm going to be there too.
Yep. I'll be in Chillicothe, Ohio, signing autographs and doing all of that good stuff. Uh-huh. And I'll also be at the big event in Long Island.
Me too.
Next week coming up. Yep. I'll be there for that one.
And then the big one, WrestleCon weekend.
Yes, WrestleCon weekend. I'll be there for that one.
And Icons and Battleground at the arena.
Yeah.
Double duty. I get to see Devon soon. I'm so excited. I'll see you so many times.
Absolutely. I mean,
well, this is awesome. Yeah. I'm happy. Well, I appreciate you coming. Devon's a two-timer now.
Two-timer. Join the club.
We're aiming for the five-time club. I have guests
going.
This is your second appearance.
Gotcha.
No, you're not a two-timer. Taylor, calm down. He's not a two-timer. I think Shane is the first one to be in the five-time club.
Yeah,
you know this kid on Saturday Night Live? Did you ever see it with Steve Martin? He's like, "I'm a five-timer." They have a VIP lounge.
Oh, yeah.
So you're a two-timer. So you have to come on three more times to be in my club.
I'll be good to go.
Yes.
I'm ready to go whenever you want.
I love you, buddy. Well, thank you for coming on again. I was so happy to see you a couple months ago. We'll do it again when we can, but let's hang out this weekend coming up.
I'm sorry?
We'll hang out this weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sweet.
Absolutely. I just got to get me a nice steak and I'll be good to go.
Yeah, maybe we can do dinner. Are you on the night show too? Because I'm not. I'm just signing.
I am. We're not in Chillicothe.
Oh, you're driving somewhere else?
No. Are you talking about Chillicothe?
Yeah, Chillicothe.
Oh, there's a night show?
There's a night show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They put me on the poster and they were like, "Oh, she's doing the night show." I go, "I am not." No way. And I think they thought because I was there, I would just graciously just do it for free.
Yeah, no.
I was like, "No, I don't. No, that's not happening." So after I sign, I'm off. So maybe we can do dinner or something.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get together.
All right. Well, I'll see you there.
You got it. I'll have my agent call yours.
My phone is always open for you, doll. All right, everybody. Devon Dudley, go follow him. Go.
See you.
Go buy his merch.
Testified Devon. Yes.
There you go. Merch. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye bye.
Later, Devon.
Later, guys. Later.
Bye. So fun.
Devon Dudley testified.
They were some good stories from Dave.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. This was really good. I was happy to see him again. Like I said, we reminisced at that dinner. If those walls can talk, we were just telling stories and we were popping each other because things that I didn't remember, things that he didn't remember. And 87 years went by and it was like it was yesterday. So it was great. It was a good time.
What's awesome about D-Von, and I'm sure fans that listen to this met him in person, the intensity that he has on air, complete opposite when he's he's so awesome to listen to. He's so chill,
hanging out,
and he's always laughing, you know, like, so yeah, it's great.
He's great.
He's awesome.
He's great. I'm glad he came back on. So that was a good one. Good interview. For those listening, if you haven't followed me yet here on iHeart, please do so. Hit that follow button. If you're listening on on another platform, hit the subscribe button. That way you will get the notification. We have a new episode every single Tuesday at 3:01 a.m. So like I have iHeart on my phone and like clockwork, I get, hey, new Eyes Up Here with Francine, it's ready to go. So if you haven't done it, please do so. And we appreciate you listening.
I get a notification as well on my laptop.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because of the way I have my notification set up. So I do get the same on my iPhone and I get the same on my computer. So
what more could you ask for?
When you're notified, you learn stuff. You know, you're all prepared.
So. Yeah, that's great. Well, do you have anything that we forgot to ask him about Paul Heyman.
Oh my gosh. Well, we'll just have to take care of that ourselves. And
yeah. So Paul Heyman, real quickly, getting inducted to the Hall of Fame class of 2024 for WWE. I put something up thanking him on the Twitter machine, or X as it's called now. He didn't reply, but that's okay. No worries about that. But just, without him, I wouldn't be sitting here. So well-deserved. I mean, he goes back longer than ECW. He's been around WCW days, started as a photographer, as a kid. I mean, he's been around for quite some time. Fantastic as a manager, mouthpiece, performer, but even better as a booker and boss and creator of Extreme Championship Wrestling. So I think it's well-deserved. And I think usually I guess they would wait until maybe he's done performing, but because it was Philadelphia, I feel like it was it's the right time to do it.
100%.
Now the question that everybody is asking is who's going to induct him?
Well, one guy was taken out of.
Well, my first thought when, months ago would have been Brock Lesnar, but he's kind of like, MIA now, he's kind of missing. So, who do you think gets the nod here?
It's a damn good question. I mean, I've seen some names thrown around. I have to say, you'd probably have to go with Roman at this point. I think he's elevated Roman to such a higher point as a heel. And they've been so closely associated to the current fan base for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. I would say it would make sense because of that, but you're in Philly, so does it make more sense to go with a more ECW-centric name? I saw somebody suggest RVD. I saw somebody suggest Tommy Dreamer. So
Harry Slash.
Yeah, I saw Harry Slash tweet earlier before we started. So, I mean, there's a ton of speculation between now and then will be massive, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, the guy who everybody would have pegged would have absolutely been Brock. But also don't discount CM Punk because CM Punk would be the name I think that would make every side happy. I think the ECW fan would be happy with that. And I think the WWE fan would be happy with that.
It's going to be interesting to see who they go with. Rumors circulating again, only rumors. And I think it's fan-made rumors. That ECW collectively as a group is going to be put into the Hall of Fame, and they're going to pluck 4 or 5 of us to go up there. I don't see that happening, but I could be 100% wrong. Who knows? I don't know. It is Philly. They're looking for that cheap pop.
Yeah.
So you never know what they have up their sleeve. But again, very happy for Paul. Well-deserved. He's a mastermind at the sport of professional wrestling. He knows exactly what he's doing. He always has, and he always will. So congrats, Paul. Happy for him.
How about the fact that, I just noticed that we talked about, obviously, the WWE 2K24 game, right? the Sandman is actually a downloadable character, right? So Sandman is low-key kind of in the good graces.
Does he know that, I wonder?
He's on the commercial. Like, he's in the game. He's one of the characters you can download. Imagine if they picked Sandman to be the one. Yo, Paul.
Yo, Philly. Yeah.
Imagine the bleep they'd have to have ready. They'd have the finger on the button. It'd be one long bleep.
Oh, my God.
15 minutes. So.
He would have to get somebody to write a speech. You know? Because I always say this about Hack. He's a smart guy, but he's not very articulate. And his text messages prove it. It's like a fourth grader's texting me. He doesn't spell the words. He shortcuts everything and doesn't use capitalization, punctuation.
Doesn't need it to make a point.
Yeah. When is his dark side on? Do we know a date?
I don't know. The only one I saw, the first one airing, was John Tenta.
And when is that? Did it start already?
That is technically in real time Tuesday, March 5th. That was the first episode. Yeah. So I don't know when
today
his episode is. Correct.
Okay. I have to set my DVR so I don't miss his episode, because I really... There's a couple I want to watch. I want to watch him. I want to watch Sherry.
Sherry. I forgot they were even doing Sherry. That is one we absolutely have to talk
about. Want to, because I love her and I want to watch hers. And there's a couple in there that I'm interested in, but Hack's number one for me. So I'll try to find out some more info this weekend. Like I
said,
I'll
tell you right now, I found the list. This is what they've released so far. John Tenta, week one, Buff Bagwell, week two, Terry Gordy, week three, and Brutus Beefcake, week four.
That's okay, so we have a month before Hacky comes on. All right, good. Yeah. Again, I'll talk to him this weekend, so I'll see what's going on. But sounds good. It'll give me something to watch. I like it. Yeah. Well, all right, where can people follow you?
At ChatEMB on Twitter, at IB Exclusives on Instagram, and every single week on Eyes Up Here.
All right. If you want to follow me on social media across the board, you can find me at ECW Diva Francine. If you want to know my touring schedule, just go to my socials. Everything is on there. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you are staying extreme.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.